Well, greetings to everyone at TFMR. It is time for your Thursday conversation. In fact, I'm thinking maybe I should rename these midweek conversations because I've been moving them off of Thursday quite a bit lately. And today, obviously, is Wednesday, but our guests and I are recording this on Tuesday. See how that works? Look, it has been quite the past, whatever, 6-8 weeks in COMEX gold and silver, and there's all kinds of analysis out there that really has no idea. They're at a loss to explain what's going on. You all have gotten an overdose of what I think is going on. But I started thinking last weekend, I should check in with Alistair McLeod, because if anybody knows what's going on, it's going to be him. So here we are, my old friend Alistair McLeod. He is the head of research at Gold Money. He also has a new little side gig he wants to tell us about. Alistair, thank you for taking a few minutes to join me.
That's very much my pleasure, Craig.
All right, Mr. Side Gig. Tell everybody where they can find you now for all this great analysis that you provide.
Well, that's very kind of you. I mean, obviously, I'm still head of research at Gold Money, but my sort of weekly articles have basically moved to a Substack, which is McLeod Finance Substack. And I've got a broader remit than I had really at Gold Money, and still have at Gold Money. What I'm trying to do is to educate a far wider audience as to exactly what is going on, why the gold price is rising, explain to them it's not the gold price that's rising, but it's the value of credit declining, and this is the important point. So far, this seems to be working quite well. I'm getting quite a lot of followers, which I want to have, and paid followers as well. There's quite a lively discussion group on my Substack for the paid followers, which is all part of the education process. So that's really what I'm doing there. And I'm very, very keen to get as many people as possible involved with it, because after all, the objective is to educate people, and the more, the merrier. So that's what I'm doing with that, Craig.
Sounds a little bit like TFMR in a way. You know, the goal is to educate people and to have a vibrant community, people discussing things. And I think it's wonderful. And I'm happy to help in any way to let people know that you're doing this, because what a volatile time we live in. There are so many geopolitical events. There are political events this year. I guess in some regards, we shouldn't be surprised that gold has finally broken out of its 3.5 year price range. I'm a little surprised it happened when it did. I thought maybe we'd have to wait until the Fed was ready to start cutting, but nope, didn't wait for me. We took off a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago. So Alistair, like I said, everybody here knows what I think is going on. I want to know what you think is going on. What at least prompted the initial surge out of the trading range? And then what has driven it now even, 10% higher?
Yeah. The answer, Craig, I think is actually very, very simple. And that is, you've got to look at, if you like, the foreigners in the context of the dollar. It has become apparent in recent weeks that the US government is stuck in a debt trap. It's going to have difficulty funding itself. So what's going to happen is that instead of interest rates falling, which everybody expected, literally, and a lot still do, but everybody expected that literally until a few weeks ago. Now we can see that there's no way interest rates are going to fall. They're going to continue to rise. And the reason they're going to continue to rise is basically because of the enormous level of borrowing that the US government is embarking on. And on top of that, the commercial banks at the same time are turning around and trying to limit their risk. So what they are doing is they're turning around to small and medium-sized businesses, which of course is the backbone of America, and saying, sorry, mates, we know that your facility is due for renewal. You've got to get used to either there's going to be no renewal of the facility, or there will be less credit offered for you in terms of working overdraft, and it'll come at a higher price. So it's a shortage of credit which will be driving up rates. Now, this is important to understand. The consequences of this, obviously, is that there will be enormous bad debts. The whole of the credit mountain will become destabilized. Now, this is what the foreigners are beginning to understand. And by foreigners, I would say particularly China, Russia, and their sphere of influence. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd like to point out one thing that the Chinese have been doing. The People's Bank has been selling dollars and buying gold. And this is despite the gold price rising, whatever, whatever. I mean, month in, month out, they're accumulating gold. Now, we always think that actually they're just buying gold. But that's the wrong way to look at it. What they're doing is they're dumping dollars. Now, that gives you a clue as to what's going on with the gold price. If you think of the foreigners, if you like, as a category, what you have is the foreigners are having, you know, they look at this, you know, the value of dollars, which represents dollar credit, if you like, in the widest sense. And instead of buying them, in many cases, they are selling dollars. But what do they sell dollars for? Well, the obvious answer is gold. But that's not the complete answer. The reason that gold is shooting up is actually rather simple. And that is that what the foreigners are doing is they are buying fewer dollars than they are buying gold. Mm-hmm. So if they stop buying dollars entirely, then there's only one way the dollar goes, and that's down. It doesn't mean to say that they're necessarily buying enormous amounts of gold. And this is why people find it very difficult to pinpoint who might be actually buying gold. I mean, it's not really anyone. All that's happening is that people are buying dollars at a lesser rate than they're buying gold. Now, this also extends to other fiat currencies. Anyone who is operating purely in the fiat currency sphere would tend to buy fewer yen and also fewer euros than they buy dollars. So you can see that they underperform the dollar despite the fact that the dollar is overowned by foreigners. So that explains, it's a sort of, if you like, almost a cascade effect. It's not so much that people are running out and buying gold. It's just that they're buying less dollars than they're buying gold. And so you can see that the consequence of this is to see the gold price appear to rise. But actually what's happening is that the value of the dollar is falling. It's not gold rising, it's the dollar falling. Mm-hmm. And this is an interesting point because I first came across this in the writings of Ludwig von Mises, who some of your listeners will know was one of the mainstays of the Austrian School of Economics and went through the post-First World War hyperinflation in Austria. And that certainly colored his writings completely. You know, you could see from his description of how things worked, that what it would take for the value of a currency to fall if it's not attached to gold would be simply foreigners selling it, or alternatively, domestic owners selling it. Now, the foreigners tend to sell first. It is only later that the domestic owners of a currency actually wake up to what's happening to their currency. So you've got these sort of two camps, as it were. And at the moment, it's foreigners driving currencies down relative to to gold. And it's not that they're necessarily buying gold, but they're just buying fewer dollars. So that's actually behind the whole thing. I hope that helps.
It's very helpful. In fact, it's an excellent segue to something I wanted to ask you about. I have known, and I think you know him personally, the financial reporter by the name of Ambrose Evans Pritchard. And I remember him back when I was just getting started, back in the financial crisis and shortly thereafter. He was one of the few, I will call him, mainstream financial journalists that was really seemed to be wired in on what was happening, you know, wasn't lost trying to explain things and just, you know, pulling things out of the sky. He seemed to have a pretty good idea of what was going on, was warning people. Just, I think it was maybe yesterday this article appeared. I might have been in the Telegraph. I don't know where he writes now. It was picked up today, Tuesday, by Yahoo Finance, of all places. And I found it on Twitter. And the article says, gold is sniffing out monetary and geopolitical dystopia. He he speaks with another guy, I think, you know, by the name of Ross Norman, who a lot of times the mainstream media goes to whenever there's questions about gold. And they're trying to, he's trying to put his finger on, okay, what is going on here? Who is the, I think in the first paragraph of the article, I'll just read to you. He says, none of the normal footprints are visible on the LBMA or on the COMEX. Retail has not been big buyers. ETFs are shrinking. The crowd seems to be piling into Bitcoin instead, yet gold is rising. I would assume you've seen this. I'll put the link on this page for people to read it themselves. It's not a long read. But what can you tell us? Because I think you know both of these guys. And then do you think it kind of corroborates what you've been thinking as well about the foreign actors, whether it's the Chinese or whomever, that are driving this?
No, I think they've got it the wrong way around. Again, you've got to think in terms of the real money is gold. Okay, so that, if you like, is the objective value in the transaction. The subjective value in the transaction is the dollar. So what's happening basically is it's the dollar going down. It's the dollar's valuation going down, not so much gold going up. It's just the appearance of gold going up. Now, Ross, I know very well, I had a conversation a long time ago with him, and he admitted that he didn't really look at economics, I have to say that generally it's been right for him because he's been a very accurate forecaster of the gold price in the sort of LBMA competitions which are held every year. But I think that with the developments that are now happening on the debt side in America, it actually becomes a lot more important to understand the economic consequences and the relationship, the monetary and credit relationship between money and which is gold and credit, which of course is the currency. Ambrose has been brilliant at spotting trouble in the markets and warning us and analyzing the trouble really to the greatest of interest for us. So he's been very informative, but he is above all, and he's confirmed this to me, and I know this from his writing, he is a Keynesian economist. The idea that gold is money and dollars are credit is not something I think he would actually support. So, they're both coming at this without really the necessary tools to understand how this pricing mechanism really works. So that, I think, is what I would say. But I repeat, it's not a question, as far as the foreigners are concerned, it's not a question of gold going up. It's the dollar going down. What they are doing is they are buying less dollars than they are buying gold. Mm-hmm. So the relationship between the two is gold appears to rise measured in dollars. And I think that's the important point to get on. And not only that, but it explains why people like Ross and Ambrose can't find who is driving up the price.
Right.
Because, they're looking for something that isn't there. It is actually the complete cohort acting in aggregate of foreign interests, if you like, in the foreign exchange markets. I think that, this is why I come back onto this trying to understand this relationship. Gold is money, the rest is credit. Mm-hmm. It's the credit that's going down. So, I think when people actually begin to understand in the domestic market, in other words, in America, that it is the dollar going down, then the dollar's had it. It's actually this. So this is a very important development because foreigners will understand this first. Individuals in America will understand this second. They will be the last to understand and the last, if you like, to abandon the dollar as a medium of exchange and to abandon the credit. But this sort of thing could actually take off very, very quickly, the collapse of fiat currencies, now that it is starting. Because the more that it becomes apparent that the US government is in a debt trap and interest rates are going to rise, killing virtually everything. I mean, imagine what happens to the equity markets, for example. Mm-hmm. Imagine what happens to commercial real estate. Imagine what happens to any business which is over-leveraged. Imagine what happens to any business who finds that the banks are no longer prepared to lend to them. This is going to be a major crisis. And I can tell you that the Fed has got no control over this at all, because this is a debt-driven problem. It's not something that can be remedied, if you like, by lowering interest rates. And I'll tell you who's really got control over this, who the bank manager is, who America's bank manager is, and that's the Chinese. And this is why Janet Yellen has been over to China twice in the last year. Her treasury team have been over, I think, two or three times, and they're talking about doing it more. What are they doing? They're visiting the bank manager and saying, can we have a loan? That's actually what they're doing. You know, and only last week, Craig, there was a 10-year auction, which was a disaster. It's not true to say it failed, but I can tell you it damn near did. And then there was the 30-year, I think, last Friday. Now, that one was, you know, slightly better, but you got some natural demand for a 30-year treasury from, you know, pension funds who need this stuff, if you like, as part of their portfolio. And that's the only reason, I think, that the 30-year actually sort of got off. But if you're looking at 10-year funding, you know, this is not good. This is not working. So what does the US government do? Well, so far, what it's been doing is it's been funding itself out of the T-bill market because nobody else will really lend it any money.
Right,
the
right.
Foreigners will determine the price of credit. And as you can see, as that price rises, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult for the US government. And, you know, the dollar is the king rat of fiat currencies. So, you know, where the dollar goes, the other currencies, you know, go south even quicker. Because taking my analysis even further, you know, if you're going to choose between holding dollars and holding a foreign currency, you're going to hold the dollars. The foreign currency gets sold in exactly the same way. If you're choosing between gold and the dollar, you hang on to the gold and sell the dollars. Yep. So this is actually what's happening, and it's happening the whole way down the currency ladder. It's going to have. We can already see this week the Bank of Japan's attempts to hold the tide against the yen has failed. I mean. They dug their toes in at 150, they dug their toes in at 151, and it's now damn near 155. This is not good. You can see that the JGB 10-year bond yield is now beginning to rise, and it very shortly it'll be in new high ground. When I say new high ground, over the last, say, 20, 30 years. So that is not good. I think the same sort of thing we're going to see coming out of Europe as well. And there are a host of other currencies where, you know, which in technically look to be in better shape, you know, with the government debt to GDP numbers being reasonable, say less than 50%. I mean, I visited a central bank on this one only, I think it was, when was it? It was Friday before last. And, you know, the government actually is running a balanced budget, slight surplus, got a debt to GDP of around about 35%. But the problem is that the debt is in the private sector, and the debt is in the private sector in the form of mortgages. People in that country are highly exposed to rising interest rates, and rising interest rates is going to kill them. That's going to happen, because otherwise the currency collapses. It is down the food chain, if you like, from the king rat of fiat currencies. We've got to get used to this, Craig. This is actually what's driving the whole thing, and it is very, very serious.
Well, you've segued right into my final question, my third topic I wanted to address with you, Alistair. Because again, you're kind of wrapping up the second question, just to your point. That's exactly what Ambrose's article mentions. You know, gold's up this year, blasting higher against a stronger dollar, big move in treasury yields, you know, rate cut expectations falling. And then, as Ross Norman says, we don't know who's doing it, because usually if it was central banks, He says they buy on the London benchmark and they don't chase price. And this is happening off the books. So I think it all falls right in line with what you're saying. And so my final question is, it almost seems like we should expect this to continue then. I mean, we've seen some of these big banks, bullion banks come out, you know, $2,700, $3,000, maybe they sense this too. But the liquidity problem and the higher interest rates issue doesn't seem to be going away as we go deeper into this year. That, like you said, Yellen's trying to jam everything into the short end of the yield curve. The Fed has talked about wanting to do that as well. Gunwaller mentioned that in a speech back at the 1st of March. And, you know, that reverse repo balance that has been kind of a slush fund of liquidity, now down to $300 billion from, you know, $2.3 trillion. So do you see what you're forecasting as just kind of, or what you've discussed has been driving it? Doesn't that seem like that? I don't see how that's going to get any better.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you refer to the reverse repos. I mean, basically all that, all those funds have gone into the US T-bill markets. You know, that's what I mean. That's where Yellen has been, you know, funding the deficit, and she's been paying top dollar for it because you've got a negative yield curve. Why doesn't she go out along the yield curve? Well, yeah. The answer is she can't, because nobody will buy it.
Nobody will buy it, yeah.
So that's the situation there. I mean, the other thing I would like to say is that the short position in the paper market is actually getting very, very expensive for the bullion bank community. We are approaching the highest levels ever seen in terms of gross and net value of the short position. And this is another reason I think we see strength in the gold. In the gold price. I mean, as we talk, you would have thought that having had this wonderful run, peaking up at somewhere like 24.30 or whatever it got up to, that this would be a time for decent reaction. And we come all the way back to test where we broke out, which was around about sort of 2100 or something like that. $300 reaction. I mean, surely, you know, that's reasonable after all this, but no. It's continuing on up. As I speak, gold is up another $7, $8, and it's $2,390, and it's looking like it will go through the 2,400 level. Now, this is going to create, I think, potentially, it could create some failures in the bullion bank community, because when we look at the overall exposure, you know, some are more exposed than others. This is not a sort of, you know, even spread. And the way they are exposed is not only through futures, but also some of them, and I think particularly the European banks, offer unallocated gold accounts. Now, this works on a fractional reserve basis, is the way to describe it. So, you know, for every ounce of gold that you have in your account, or, you know, pretend to have in your account, the bank pretends it's in your account, you know, they've probably only got, you know, 10th of an ounce covering it. So you can see that they are technically short. And where they cover themselves, and this is something actually that Ross reckoned when he was first looking at this, he reckoned that somebody must have gone into the market, in the OTC market in London, and taken out an option, you know, sort of fairly big option, and spread, if you like, the risk around the market. Now, I think that's quite possible, because if I was a director of a bullion bank, and my desk has got itself into a very uncomfortable short position, I think one way in which I would try and cap the losses is to take out, I mean, you know, I wouldn't actually do this, but this is that I'm trying to sort of think like a director of a bullion bank. I would take out an out of the money call option to protect, if you like, protect me from further rise in the price of gold. So, right. Yeah, I can see that. And I think this confirms that the bullion bank community are actually very alarmed by what is going on. So this is this, I think, is a major event, Craig. And as I say, and I think this, I cannot emphasize strongly enough, understand why it is gold appears to be rising. It's not gold rising. It's credit falling. Mm-hmm. What foreigners are doing is they're rejecting dollar credit while they're not rejecting gold. I mean, that's all it takes, literally. It doesn't take gold buying, massive gold buying or anything like that. It's just, you know, what are you actually not buying? And the answer is they're not buying the dollar. So what happens? The dollar goes down. What happens to all the currencies underneath it? Same story. They go down even faster. So, you know, here I am sitting in sterling and seeing the price has risen to an almighty £1,900 an ounce, and it'll probably shortly be over £2,000 an ounce. You know, everybody who I've said, look, you've got to buy gold in the last 10 years, they're going, whoopee, without actually realizing what's happening is it's sterling going down.
Yeah,
this is an almighty mess. And the only countries which have insured themselves against this outcome are the Russians, the Chinese, and I think possibly also the Saudis. Since Mohammed bin Salman took over, because he is working so closely with the two big Asian hegemons. And I think all the other countries in that camp, you know, the Asian countries and, you know, maybe some of the BRICS and so on and so forth, have this as a plan B. You know, they're going to have to tie their currencies to gold. Otherwise, they're going to go down the pan completely. Yeah. And they won't be able to use their currencies for trade settlement. So you can see that with the big, big geopolitical moves behind this. I would not be surprised to see gold being, you know, a gold standard coming back for Russia and China, even by the end of this year. Now, that sounds terribly dramatic, but the problem with events such as this is that they can develop an impetus of their own. Mm-hmm. Which would surprise everybody. Now, I'm not forecasting that, but do not be surprised.
Like reaching down and giving the wheel a spin and speeding it up. Alistair, you're being very generous with your time, and I'm keeping you longer than I'd promised. But I do want to ask you one last question, because you've created a vivid picture of what is driving this breakout and why it seems like we just keep going higher with just minimal interruption. You know, I have thought since, I don't know, COVID crisis, midsummer of 2020, that all of this was eventually leading to kind of a stagflation and yield curve control being really about the only remaining option to try to finance all of this debt, at least coming out of the U.S. What happens if that is the course that gets taken over the next 12, 24 months, if there's such a liquidity crisis that that's the way the Fed has to just come out and say, we are a buyer of all treasuries above 3% or something like that.
Well, I mean, you can forget yield curve control. I mean, because under these circumstances, they can't do it. You know, it's just not on. As I say, the real bank manager, America's real bank manager is China. And I think that the Biden administration would do itself a favor and stop slagging off China, because the last thing you do is upset your bank manager. So, you know, it's just absolutely crazy. And it's one of these situations when someone gets into a debt trap, you know, and you're the bank manager, you sort of look at this and you think, yeah, I don't want to have any more of this. I really, you know, it doesn't matter whether, you know, I'm offered a 15% coupon, a 20% coupon. You know, I just want out. And this is where we're going with this, Craig. I mean, U.S. debt in a debt trap is becoming unfundable. I know there's no such word, but I've just invented it.
Yeah, I like it.
I think this is. I just can't get over the seriousness of this situation enough. People just don't sort of, you know, they stumble along, thinking things will continue as they have in the past. Mm-hmm. But actually, we've got a major, major debt crisis on our hands, and this is the very early stages of it. And if you like, one thing you can say is that gold is the canary in the gold mine, and it's indicating that there's a lot worse to come. You can put it that way.
And when AEP is starting to sniff it out, Ambrose Evans Pritchard, you know, there are rumblings behind the scenes.
He's like an undertaker measuring up the coffin.
Alistair, it is always such a pleasure to visit with you, and you're always so insightful, and you've helped us so much over the years. I want to direct everybody again, not only to Gold Money, and all the services provided there, and that they can find. It's under research. I think there's a tab that says research, if I remember right. And you scroll down, you find Alistair's work. But tell everybody again, the address, you just go to Substack and search McLeod Finance and find it.
Yeah, McLeod Finance, Substack. I mean, just Google it and, you know, you're there, basically. That's always the way to do it, rather than me give you a URL, as it were. So McLeod Finance, Substack, and you will find it.
And as this year continues, and as you mentioned, the stuff with some of the BRICS countries, you know, the rationale they would have to develop their own system after, you know, the U.S. has kind of tried to put them in timeout for doing things that dare go against what the U.S. wants. If you want someone who tracks that stuff, you don't have to wait till Alistair does an interview somewhere here or wherever. I think having that Substack is going to be very, very valuable. So thank you for starting it. I want everybody to check it out. Alistair, my old friend, thank you so much for your time. I really, really, really appreciate it. And I promise, I hope we'll do this again soon, because it had been more than a few months and we got to make sure we visit again soon.
Yeah, well, it's been very much my pleasure, Craig, and happy to come back on your show anytime.
Always good to visit with you, and it's always good to record one of these midweek conversations. We'll try to have another one next week. But for now, thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see where we go from here.